key to the scriptures. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Revelation. Science and Health, Chapter 15, Genesis. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Exodus. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John. Scientific interpretation of the scriptures properly starts with the beginning of the Old Testament, chiefly because the spiritual import of the word in its earliest articulations often seems so smothered by the immediate context as to require explication, whereas the New Testament narratives are clearer and come nearer the heart. Jesus illumines them, showing the poverty of mortal existence, but richly recompensing human want and woe with spiritual gain. The incarnation of truth, that amplification of wonder and glory, which angels could only whisper and which God illustrated by light and harmony, is consonant with ever-present love. So-called mystery and miracle, which subserve the end of natural good, are explained by that love for whose rest the weary ones sigh when needing something more native to their immortal cravings than the history of perpetual evil. A second necessity for beginning with Genesis is that the living and real prelude of the older scriptures is so brief that it would almost seem, from the preponderance of unreality in the entire narrative, as if reality did not predominate over unreality. The light over the dark, the straight line of spirit over the mortal deviations and inverted images of the Creator and His creation. Spiritually followed, the book of Genesis is the history of the untrue image of God, named a sinful mortal. This deflection of being, rightly viewed, serves to suggest the proper reflection of God and the spiritual actuality of man as given in the first chapter of Genesis. Even thus, the crude forms of human thought take on higher symbols and significations when scientifically Christian views of the universe appear, illuminating time with the glory of eternity. In the following exegesis, each text is followed by its spiritual interpretation according to the teachings of Christian Science. Exegesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The infinite has no beginning. This word beginning is employed to signify the only, that is the eternal verity and unity of God and man, including the universe. The creative principle, life, truth and love is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation. This creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. These ideas range from the infinitesimal, to infinity, and the highest ideas are the sons and daughters of God. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The divine principle and idea constitute spiritual harmony, heaven and eternity. In the universe of truth, matter is unknown. No supposition of error enters there. Divine science, the Word of God, said to the darkness upon the face of error, God is all in all, and the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting Him in countless spiritual forms. Genesis 1:3. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. Immortal and divine mind presents the idea of God, first in light, second in reflection, third in spiritual and immortal forms of beauty and goodness. But this mind creates no element nor symbol of discord and decay. God creates neither erring thought, mortal life, mutable truth, nor variable love. Genesis 1:4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God, Spirit, dwelling in infinite light and harmony, from which emanates the true idea, is never reflected by aught but the good. Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. All questions as to the divine creation being both spiritual and material are answered in this passage, for those solar beams are not yet included in the record of creation, still there is light. This light is not from the sun nor from volcanic flames, but it is the revelation of truth and of spiritual ideas. This also shows that there is no place where God's light is not seen, since truth, life, and love fill immensity and are ever-present. Was not this a revelation instead of a creation? The successive appearing of God's ideas is represented as taking place on so many evenings and mornings, words which indicate, in the absence of solar time, spiritually clearer views of Him, views which are not implied by material darkness and dawn. Here we have the explanation of another passage of Scripture that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. The rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously, whereas a thousand years of human doctrines, hypotheses, and vague conjectures emit no such effulgence. Did infinite mind create matter and call it light? Spirit is light, and the contradiction of spirit is matter. Darkness and darkness obscures light. Material sense is nothing but the supposition of the absence of spirit. No solar rays nor planetary revolutions form the day of spirit. Immortal mind makes its own record, but mortal mind, sleep, dreams, sin, disease, and death have no record in the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1:6. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Spiritual understanding, by which human conception, material sense, is separated from truth, is the firmament. The divine mind, not matter, creates all identities, and they are forms of mind, the ideas of spirit, apparent only as mind, never as mindless matter, nor the so-called material senses. Genesis 1:7. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Spirit imparts the understanding which uplifts consciousness and leads into all truth. The psalmist said, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." Spiritual sense is the discernment of spiritual good. Understanding is the line of demarcation between the real and unreal. Spiritual understanding unfolds mind, life, truth, and love, and demonstrates the divine sense, giving the spiritual proof of the universe in Christian Science. This understanding is not intellectual. It's not the result of scholarly attainments. It is the reality of all things brought to light. God's ideas reflect the immortal, unerring, and infinite. The mortal, erring, and finite are human beliefs, which apportion to themselves a task impossible for them, that of distinguishing between the false and the true. Objects utterly unlike the original do not reflect that original. Therefore, matter, not being the reflection of spirit, has no real entity. Understanding is a quality of God, a quality which separates Christian Science from supposition and makes truth final. Genesis 1:8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Through divine science, Spirit God unites understanding to eternal harmony. The calm and exalted thought or spiritual apprehension is at peace. Thus, the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive state of progress. Genesis 1:9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Spirit God gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts even as he opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear. Genesis 1:10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Here, the human concept and divine ideas seem confused by the translator, but they are not so in the scientifically Christian meaning of the text. Upon Adam devolved the pleasurable task of finding names for all material things, but Adam has not yet appeared in the narrative. In metaphor, the dry land illustrates the absolute formations instituted by mind, while water symbolizes the elements of mind. Spirit duly feeds and clothes every object as it appears in the line of spiritual creation, thus tenderly expressing the fatherhood and motherhood of God. Spirit names and blesses all. Without natures particularly defined, objects and subjects would be obscure, and creation would be full of nameless offspring, wanderers from the parent mind, strangers in a tangled wilderness.
Genesis 1:11. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The universe of spirit reflects the creative power of the divine principle or life, which reproduces the multitudinous forms of mind and governs the multiplication of the compound idea man. The tree and herb do not yield fruit because of any propagating power of their own, but because they reflect the mind which includes all. A material world implies a mortal mind and man a creator. The scientific divine creation declares immortal mind and the universe created by God. Infinite mind creates and governs all, from the mental molecule to infinity. This divine principle of all expresses science and art throughout his creation and the immortality of man and the universe. Creation is ever appearing and must ever continue to appear from the nature of its inexhaustible source. Mortal sense inverts this appearing and calls ideas material. Thus, misinterpreted, the divine idea seems to fall to the level of a human or material belief called mortal man. But the seed is in itself only as the divine mind is all and reproduces all, as mind is the multiplier, and mind's infinite idea man and the universe is the product. The only intelligence or substance of a thought, a seed, or a flower is God, the creator of it. Mind is the soul of all. Mind is life, truth, and love, which governs all. Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God determines the gender of his own ideas. Gender is mental, not material. The seed within itself is the pure thought emanating from divine mind. The feminine gender is not yet expressed in the text. Gender means simply kind or sort, and does not necessarily refer either to masculinity or femininity. The word is not confined to sexuality, and grammars always recognize a neuter gender, neither male nor female. The mind or intelligence of production names the female gender last in the ascending order of creation. The intelligent individual idea, be it male or female, rising from the lesser to the greater, unfolds the infinitude of love. Genesis 1:13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. The third stage in the order of Christian Science is an important one to the human thought, letting in the light of spiritual understanding. This period corresponds to the resurrection, when spirit is discerned to be the life of all and the deathless life or mind dependent upon no material organization. Our master reappeared to his students To their apprehension he rose from the grave on the third day of his ascending thought, and so presented to them the certain sense of eternal life. Genesis 1:14. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. Spirit creates no other than heavenly or celestial bodies, but the stellar universe is no more celestial than our earth. This text gives the idea of the rarefaction of thought as it ascends higher. God forms and peoples the universe. The light of spiritual understanding gives gleams of the infinite only, even as nebulae indicate the immensity of space. So-called mineral, vegetable, and animal substances are no more contingent now on time or material structure than they were when the morning stars sang together. Mind made the plant of the field before it was in the earth. The periods of spiritual ascension are the days and seasons of mind's creation, in which beauty, sublimity, purity, and holiness, yea, the divine nature, appear in man and the universe never to disappear. Knowing the science of creation, in which all is mind and its ideas, Jesus rebuked the material thought of his fellow countrymen. Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? How much more should we seek to apprehend the spiritual ideas of God than to dwell on the objects of sense? To discern the rhythm of spirit and to be holy, thought must be purely spiritual. Genesis 1:15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Truth and love enlighten the understanding, in whose light shall we see light. And this illumination is reflected spiritually by all who walk in the light and turn away from a false material sense. Genesis 1:16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The sun is a metaphorical representation of soul outside the body, giving existence and intelligence to the universe. Love alone can impart the limitless idea of infinite mind. Geology has never explained the earth's formations. It cannot explain them. There is no scriptural allusion to solar light until time has been already divided into evening and morning. And the allusion to fluids, Genesis 1:2, indicates a supposed formation of matter by the resolving of fluids into solids, analogous to the suppositional resolving of thoughts into material things. Light is a symbol of mind, of life, truth, and love, and not a vitalizing property of matter. Science reveals only one mind, and this one shining by its own light and governing the universe, including man, in perfect harmony. This mind forms ideas, its own images, subdivides and radiates their borrowed light, intelligence, and so explains the scripture phrase, whose seed is in itself. Thus God's ideas multiply and replenish the earth. The divine mind supports the sublimity, magnitude, and infinitude of spiritual creation. Genesis 1:17-18. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In divine science, which is the seal of deity and has the impress of heaven, God is revealed as infinite light. In the eternal mind, no night is there. Genesis 1:19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The changing glow and full effulgence of God's infinite ideas, images, mark the periods of progress. Genesis 1:20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." To mortal mind, the universe is liquid, solid, and aeriform. Spiritually interpreted, rocks and mountains stand for solid and grand ideas. Animals and mortals metaphorically present the gradation of mortal thought, rising in the scale of intelligence, taking form in masculine, feminine, or neuter gender. The fowls which fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven correspond to aspirations soaring beyond and above corporeality to the understanding of the incorporeal and divine principle love. Genesis 1:21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Spirit is symbolized by strength, presence, and power, and also by holy thoughts winged with love. These angels of his presence, which have the holiest charge, abound in the spiritual atmosphere of mind and consequently reproduce their own characteristics. Their individual forms we know not, but we do know that their natures are allied to God's nature, and spiritual blessings thus typified are the externalized yet subjective states of faith and spiritual understanding. Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." Spirit blesses the multiplication of its own pure and perfect ideas. From the infinite elements of the one mind emanate all form, color, quality, and quantity, and these are mental, both primarily and secondarily. Their spiritual nature is discerned only through the spiritual senses. Mortal mind inverts the true likeness and confers animal names and natures upon its own misconceptions. Ignorant of the origin and operations of mortal mind, that is ignorant of itself, this so-called mind puts forth its own qualities and claims God as their author, albeit God is ignorant of the existence of both this mortal mentality, so-called, and its claim, for the claim usurps the deific prerogatives and is an attempted infringement on infinity. Genesis 1:23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Advancing spiritual steps in the teeming universe of mind lead on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings. To material sense, this divine universe is dim and distant, gray in the somber hues of twilight, but anon the veil is lifted and the scene shifts into light. In the record, time is not yet measured by solar revolutions, and the motions and reflections of deific power cannot be apprehended until divine science becomes the interpreter. Genesis 1:24. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes all thoughts, which are as eternal as the mind conceiving them. But the intelligence, existence, and continuity of all individuality remain in God, who is the divinely creative principle thereof. Genesis 1:25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God creates all forms of reality. His thoughts are spiritual realities. So-called mortal mind, being non-existent and consequently not within the range of immortal existence, could not, by simulating deific power, invert the divine creation and afterwards recreate persons or things upon its own plane, since nothing exists beyond the range of all-inclusive infinity in which and of which God is the sole creator. Mind, joyous in strength, dwells in the realm of mind. Mind's infinite ideas run and disport themselves. In humility, they climb the heights of holiness. Moral courage is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of the mental realm. Free and fearless, it roams in the forest. Undisturbed, it lies in the open field or rests in green pastures beside the still waters. In the figurative transmission from the divine thought to the human, diligence, promptness, and perseverance are likened to the cattle upon a thousand hills. They carry the baggage of stern resolve and keep pace with highest purpose. Tenderness accompanies all the might imparted by spirit. The individuality created by God is not carnivorous, as witness the millennial estate pictured by Isaiah. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child
shall lead them. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper to be harmless. All of God's creatures, moving in the harmony of science, are harmless, useful, indestructible. A realization of this grand verity was a source of strength to the ancient worthies. It supports Christian healing and enables its possessor to emulate the example of Jesus, and God saw that it was good. Patience is symbolized by the tireless worm creeping over lofty summits, persevering in its intent. The serpent of God's creating is neither subtle nor poisonous, but is a wise idea, charming in its adroitness, for love's ideas are subject to the mind which forms them, the power which changeth the serpent into a staff. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." The eternal Elohim includes the forever universe. The name Elohim is in the plural, but this plurality of spirit does not imply more than one God, nor does it imply three persons in one. It relates to the oneness, the triunity of life, truth, and love. Let them have dominion. Man is the family name for all ideas, the sons and daughters of God. All that God imparts moves in accord with Him, reflecting goodness and power. Your mirrored reflection is your own image or likeness. If you lift a weight, your reflection does this also. If you speak, the lips of this likeness move in accord with yours. Now compare man before the mirror to his divine principle God. Call the mirror divine science, and call man the reflection. Then note how true, according to Christian science, is the reflection to its original. As the reflection of yourself appears in the mirror, so you, being spiritual, are the reflection of God. The substance, life, intelligence, truth, and love which constitute deity are reflected by His creation. And when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere. God fashions all things after His own likeness. Life is reflected in existence, truth in truthfulness, God in goodness, which impart their own peace and permanence. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. The grass beneath our feet silently exclaims, "The meek shall inherit the earth." The modest arbutus sends her sweet breath to heaven. The great rock gives shadow and shelter. The sunlight glints from the church dome, glances into the prison cell, glides into the sick chamber, brightens the flower, beautifies the landscape, blesses the earth. Man, made in His likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. man and woman as coexistent and eternal with God forever reflect in glorified quality the infinite Father, Mother, God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. To emphasize this momentous thought, it is repeated that God made man in his own image to reflect the divine spirit. It follows that man is a generic term. Masculine, feminine, and neuter genders are human concepts. In one of the ancient languages, the word for man is used also as the synonym of mind. This definition has been weakened by anthropomorphism or a humanization of deity. The word anthropomorphic in such a phrase as anthropomorphic God is derived from two Greek words signifying man and form, and may be defined as a mortally mental attempt to reduce deity to corporeality. The life-giving quality of mind is spirit, not matter. The ideal man corresponds to creation, to intelligence, and to truth. The ideal woman corresponds to life and to love. In divine science, we have not as much authority for considering God masculine as we have for considering him feminine, for love imparts the clearest idea of deity. The world believes in many persons, but if God is personal, there is but one person, because there is but one God. His personality can only be reflected, not transmitted. God has countless ideas, and they all have one principle and parentage. The only proper symbol of God as person is mind's infinite ideal. What is this ideal? Who shall behold it? This ideal is God's own image, spiritual and infinite. Even eternity can never reveal the whole of God, since there is no limit to infinitude or to its reflections. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Divine love blesses its own ideas and causes them to multiply, to manifest his power. Man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his Maker. This is the science of being. Genesis 1:29-30. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God gives the lesser idea of himself for a link to the greater, and in return, the higher always protects the lower. The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father. And blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeking his own in another's good. Love giveth to the least spiritual idea might, immortality, and goodness, which shine through all as the blossom shines through the bud. All the varied expressions of God reflect health, holiness, immortality, infinite life, truth, and love. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The divine principle or spirit comprehends and expresses all, and all must therefore be as perfect as the divine principle is perfect. Nothing is new to spirit. Nothing can be novel to eternal mind, the author of all things, who from all eternity knoweth his own ideas. Deity was satisfied with his work. How could he be otherwise, since the spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of his infinite self-containment and immortal wisdom? Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Thus the ideas of God in universal being are complete and forever expressed, for science reveals infinity and the fatherhood and motherhood of love. Human capacity is slow to discern and to grasp God's creation and the divine power and presence which go with it, demonstrating its spiritual origin. Mortals can never know the infinite until they throw off the old man and reach the spiritual image and likeness. What can fathom infinity? How shall we declare him, till in the language of the apostle, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Genesis 2:2. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God rests in action. Imparting has not impoverished, can never impoverish, the divine mind. No exhaustion follows the action of this mind, according to the apprehension of divine science. The highest and sweetest rest, even from a human standpoint, is in holy work. Unfathomable mind is expressed. The depth, breadth, height, might, majesty, and glory of infinite love fill all space. That is enough. Human language can repeat only an infinitesimal part of what exists. The absolute ideal man is no more seen nor comprehended by mortals than is his infinite principle love. Principle and its idea man are coexistent and eternal. The numerals of infinity, called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days will appear as mortality disappears, and they will reveal eternity, newness of life, in which all sense of error forever disappears, and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. Genesis
2:4-5. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God Jehovah made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God Jehovah had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Here is the emphatic declaration that God creates all through mind, not through matter, that the plant grows not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. Mortal thought drops into the ground, but the immortal creating thought is from above, not from beneath. Because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Knowledge of this lifts man above the sod, above earth and its environments, to conscious spiritual harmony and eternal being. Here, the inspired record closes its narrative of being that is without beginning or end. All that is made is the work of God, and all is good. We leave this brief glorious history of spiritual creation, as stated in the first chapter of Genesis, in the hands of God, not of man, in the keeping of spirit, not matter, joyfully acknowledging now and forever God's supremacy, omnipotence, and omnipresence. The harmony and immortality of man are intact. We should look away from the opposite supposition that man is created materially and turn our gaze to the spiritual record of creation, to that which should be engraved on the understanding and heart with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel. The reader will naturally ask if there is nothing more about creation in the book of Genesis. Indeed, there is, but the continued account is mortal and material.